From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 690, Office 365 Governance for Work From Home with guest Martha Grom, recorded Thursday, April 23rd, 2020. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to this special editions of the pandemic series for Run As Radio. And my guest today is Martina Grom, and we've had Martina on the show before. She works as an IT consultant and is co-founder and CEO of At Work Information Technology. At Work is a software company and Microsoft partner located in Austria and specializes in development of online solutions. She founded that back in 1999 before the whole cloud thing was really a thing, but she's been in IT since 95. Welcome back, Martina.
I'm really looking forward for what we will talk today in the current situation.
Absolutely. This was your suggested show on Twitter too. And when I started the pandemic conversation on Run As, you know, and we'd done that conversation about 365 governance, but working from home adds a whole other spin on this.
It's totally different. And for me, it's kind of interesting because we all learned so much about, okay, this will never happen. We will never all work from home.
No.
And this is impossible. And the last couple of weeks or months just learned us there's always something new.
Yeah.
And it's new for all of us. So every person on this planet is currently impacted by what is going on here. And this is kind of the interesting stuff around it.
For sure. And your family is fine. You're healthy. All is well.
Yes, my family is fine and we are healthy as well. We try to stay home, to do the social distancing thing. But on the other side, we also try to stay in contact and keep our social contacts alive.
Yes.
And this is kind of an interesting story for me as well, because your personal life in the past months, it was maybe too much, too fast. You didn't have time for your family and so on. And now with that full stop scenario, you're rethinking things. You are calling friends. You have coffee breaks and just chatting around on a video call. And this is also something which is quite positive about that.
I'm saying yes to every call I see these days. And I'm making a point of doing one-on-ones with the people that are important to me. Spend a little time with my father and my mother. Just those chats are so important just to sort of loop back and to make sure everyone's okay. You know, I'm finding there's certain folks who've reached out to me and say, hey, can we have a cocktail hour? That is somebody who really needs a cocktail hour. Okay, it's like, how about right now? I'm going to go make a cup of tea. Let's just talk. Whatever it may be.
Yeah. And this is also something. So every week now on Wednesday, we have kind of a happy hour with some friends out of the MVP space.
I love it.
Which we usually meet during the year and in conferences and so on. And now we meet every week.
Wow.
Yeah. And we just take care of each other, listening and talking about food, baking, running, whatever the weather. So it's also something which it made us kind of closer as a group of people.
I agree.
That's an important thing here.
My youngest moved out of the house at the end of February with her fiance. They were planning on getting married in June, which is now postponed for at least a year.
Mm.
But talk about jumping in the fire. It's like, welcome to your first apartment. Now you can't leave it. But we've been having dinner with them remotely, set up the iPad and each make our own meal and then eat together.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea as well. And also, so what I did in the last 2 months, I continued to have my physiotherapy.
Oh.
We do it in a remote session and it works really well because we are meeting for 1 hour. She shows me some things to do. I show her where I have pain and how she can help me. And mm-hmm. it works.
Range of motion. That's awesome. It's great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate, you know, where we are that we're all trying to do our best here. I'm trying to get some advice for IT folks that are struggling with everyone now working from home. Are there tools in Office 365 that make this easier? Like, are you able to govern that in a meaningful way?
So what I learned in the last couple of weeks is that COVID-19 brought a lot of speed in ongoing projects because people people just needed to speed up things and get people online and get them work in a safe way from home.
Right. Secure.
And security is a big thing nowadays. Mm-hmm. And you see it a lot because there are security breaches everywhere, especially in healthcare, which is terrible to have that kind of people. And on the other side, I see also some companies struggling because if they weren't well prepared for giving people freedom in working and working from everywhere, it was really hard for them to adapt to the new situation. And the third part of enterprises I learned is where I think about, okay, we will do a lot after the fact governance with you if that is gone, because now they are just busy with giving people the right tools mm-hmm. to work from home, but do not care about the whole impact, do not care about change management, adoption, talking to people. It's just giving them tools and throw those tools over the fence and hope that it works. I see that also a lot in the education space where teachers and students do not know what tools they should use and so on. So it's a lot of learning for many people.
Yeah, I think there's a conversation I had earlier previous week about this idea of just because you got them home and quote online doesn't mean they're productive. Like, let's just take the presumption that everybody's productivity is taking a hit, both just because of your emotional state, because we're in a pandemic, but also that you're learning to work from home and in a home where everybody's home.
Yeah, it's true. And you also see a lot of people, which are kind of people need to find a way how to organize their days. Mm-hmm. And this is also, it was kind of fancy working from home, so I can do whatever I want, whenever I want as well. But now if a family has children at home, they do homeschooling, they need to prepare lunches, they need to entertain the kids, they need to work and so on. So it's a lot of management as well for many people.
Yeah, you find out that the machine in the hallway that you were planning on using to work from home, your spouse also needs to use it for work from home, and your kids need it for homework. And do you have enough compute and do you have enough bandwidth?
Yeah, exactly. And I was kind of surprised because in the beginning I thought, okay, will the internet connections be stable for mm-hmm. all of us now working from home? And I'm kind of surprised it works pretty well. Yeah. I think there are some areas where it's not so good, but all in all, it's a good situation.
Well, and here you and I are talking from Vancouver to Austria, and it's holding together pretty well, you know? I am a little more grateful for the ability of our tech right now than I've been in a while, just to say, wow, yeah. It is holding up as we have a lot more demand on it. And so is the cloud, for that matter. Like, I don't know where we're going to be as a civilization if the cloud doesn't hold together through this.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And also the whole, we can scale forever.
Yeah.
It's kind of a true story, but it's on the other side. We also learned in the first couple of weeks that even Microsoft had to adopt things and throw some services to prioritize other ones.
Yeah.
And this is how it works. And the positive side here is that people just know, okay, it's an extreme situation for everyone mm-hmm. and we just need to be patient and we will fix that. And this is one of the fundamental things. We will fix that.
Yeah.
And we will move on. And this is the most important thing here.
Well, and I appreciate that thinking that, that there is no going back. There's only moving forward. There's no point in waiting for back to arrive. We just have to move forward on making things work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of a cloud situation. This is also something I told my customers in the past that I said the cloud is not rolling back.
Yeah.
They need to fix the things and move forward. Yeah. And it's kind of the same situation right now. You can't say, okay, my data center is full. I'm out of capacity, so I can't help you anymore.
Yeah, that's not an option.
You need to fix it. Exactly. It's not an option. You need to move forward. And this is also something every single person should consider in that kind of situation. It doesn't help us if we say, okay, we want to go back to the old normal. I think we should make the best out of the new normal now.
Well, and whatever comes after this, you're going to benefit from having moved forward one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And from a technical perspective, so going back to your initial question, mm-hmm. is what we did in the last couple of weeks is helping customers onboard to Microsoft Teams, build a baseline security, build a baseline governance, and optimize their network access and help them in doing their everyday work in the same way they did it before.
Right.
And also some learnings I had, for instance, was in the first week, it was kind of, I had the same amount of meetings, but all were online. And it was kind of a back-to-back scenario, which didn't work well because you get extremely tired if you look at one screen or in a webcam for the whole day.
Yeah.
And so things I learned is, for instance, I still do back-to-back meetings, but I reduce the time frame. If I have a 60-minute meeting, I reduce it to 50 minutes.
Right.
If I have a 30-minute meeting, I reduce it to 25 minutes. Just that I have some time to drink something, to relax, to go around in my room or anything else. And I think this is also very important because if you sit on a screen for the whole day, not moving, just talking.
Yeah.
This is extremely, you're losing energy.
Sure.
Through that.
It's hard on you, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's funny how, you know, just that time in between meetings where you had to move from office to office and so forth, when you eliminate all of that, you're going to be exhausted. You need to put that time back in.
Exactly. And also what I learned, so from my perspective, I need to give my brain some rest to reprocess what just happened.
For sure.
And to prepare for the next one. So you just need that time as well.
Yeah. If you haven't got good notes after each of those meetings, especially when you're doing them rapid fire, it's lost. You're not going to remember.
Exactly. Exactly. Because your brain probably thinks, okay, that was not that important. I throw it away.
Yeah. It's going to chuck it out. It's looking for things to chuck out because oddly enough, we are in kind of an overload right now.
Yeah, it's true.
So when you're dealing with folks that are now working from home for the first time and they're already on 365, is anything really changed? Is it just work?
What changed a lot is, so for instance, many organizations, especially in the enterprise field, large organizations, so the usual part was, okay, we offer some kind of working from home scenarios and homework, and we give you a VPN access to the company so you can work there.
Right.
And now with everyone working from home, the access via VPN didn't work very well for 100% of all people.
It's overwhelmed.
It's overwhelmed, yes. And a lot of discussions I had with some customers in the past about split VPN and how to make a good configuration to have an optimal network load is now happening because they just see it doesn't work in that way anymore. We can't do that.
Yeah.
And also what I see is if you're still 100% on premises, it might be very hard for you to have all services for all your employees still in place.
Yeah, you can't deliver everything. And I would think, well, certainly not leaving on forced tunneling, but I would think that 365 offloads a bunch of traffic, that now that's just going over the internet, so you're not leaning on the VPN quite so much.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why if you went through a network assessment before, as we do with all our customers, no matter how small or big he is, because I need to know how their infrastructure works. And if you go through that and you know about split VPN and open up ports and not force everyone to an on-premises VPN, just because you can do that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I got to think that OneDrive can make a huge difference, or OneDrive for Business, at least in this scenario too, because if you can offload the file share work out of the VPN work, that's got to have a huge benefit.
Yeah. And also, this is kind of a funny situation when you mention that, because I'm currently involved very heavily in some kind of file server replacement projects. Mm-hmm. And a lot of organizations I work with, because they all see now the benefit of OneDrive and SharePoint.
Right.
Because they have their data available online and also every time, and they do not need to connect to a file share.
Yeah.
Which is hosted somewhere. And this is a huge benefit as well. And on the other side, it could be dangerous as well, because people say, okay, I do not like to VPN to my company all the time, so I copy all the files and upload them to OneDrive. And if the organizational computer is configured the way that you still use a VPN, you're just copying files back and forth through your VPN.
Brutal.
And upload them to, yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, you're just going to pin exactly. The network to the wall. And Martina, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. If keeping up with the growing amount of security patches and managing complex Microsoft in-place upgrades are becoming a pain point within your IT department, Barramundi Management Suite is the solution. The Barramundi Management Suite gives you real-time lifecycle management of all network endpoints, from classic Windows and Mac to iOS and Android devices. Barramundi software automates time-consuming tasks, including Windows migration, software installation, inventory, and backup. Whether you manage IT for a small company or a global corporation, Barramundi optimizes endpoint management, frees time for new projects, and reduces IT costs. Check out www.barramundisoftware.com to receive your Run As Radio 25% discount and info for a 30-day trial. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. This is Martina Gram. We're talking on these subjects of the pandemic and working from home, using Office 365, and really that whole suite of tools. So getting that file management down, you know, hopefully even using rights management, because people have been copying files out of their company and mishandling them for a long time. I don't know if you, do you do much with rights management?
Yes, I do a lot in security and also a lot in compliance. And this is what I currently see. So when we try to work with customers, we always say, okay, we need to have a data classification in place, and we need to have a good governance here in place. And also we need to talk about what files need to be secured and what files are probably not secured, and also to have device management in place, or mobile device management in place, because currently every person connects to everything and they do not care about, okay, I need that data, so I copy it on my home PC,
right,
where my whole family has access with one single password.
Yikes.
And this is what I see a lot.
So rights management can somewhat solve that you can sort of force credentials on and limit access. You can't copy the file.
Yes, you can solve that. And on the other side, also the configuration, which you can do with a device management, just gives you the security at least that the devices which connect to your files are at least compliant, and the identities which connect to the files have also a security in place, like multi-factor authentication for authenticating and stuff like that. And so you can prevent, for instance, last week I discussed with a customer, because they complained about, why can't I store a file on my private machine and copy it over to something else. And I explained the reason behind that. And it's very hard for them to understand that because they said, I'm a trustworthy person.
Yeah.
Why do you put that additional burden on me? And it's not that I do not trust people. It's just for securing the work environment.
Sure.
And this is what I see a lot, that users just trust their IT, that they have a secure and working IT environment in place.
Yeah, that it's just going to be safe. And I mean, stuff happens without a doubt. So you've got to sort of put that in place. Although the Azure Information Protection Service, that is a separate thing. Like you do have to buy that on top of your regular like E3s or E5s.
So Azure Information Protection or Microsoft Information Protection comes with Microsoft 365 E3.
Okay.
And if you still have only Office 365 E3, I would highly recommend in investing some additional dollars at least into Azure Active Directory Premium.
Right.
Because it brings so much more security in your environment and in your identity. So you should really go into that direction.
Yeah, it does seem like something when you're going to have everyone remote that Azure Active Directory Premium, suddenly you may have been, it's not cheap. It's a per seat thing, right? Like you've got to spend some money on it.
Yeah, it's true. You have to. And on the other side, I say, what is the price for security? If you calculate it from a risk perspective, it's not only the license price, but
right.
It's what happens to your organization. If you have someone in your organization copying all your files, selling all your IP and put damage on your organization. So I see it more from a risk perspective.
For sure. And your security chops are showing there, Martina, that, you know, you see risk.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also, I think it was just earlier this month or in April that Azure Directory Premium was being added to 365 too, like Microsoft was putting in some additional capabilities.
Yeah, this was very good because, so you probably heard that Microsoft kind of renamed the whole Office 365 bundles into Microsoft 365.
Right.
And in the enterprise side, it makes a lot of sense. So you have Microsoft 365, E3 and E5 and all of that.
Right.
In the small business space, where you had Office 365 premium services for companies with less than 300 people,
mm-hmm.
you didn't have Azure Active Directory Premium. And this is where they added that additional value. And I'm beyond thankful Microsoft did that, because you also, a small company or people with 300 users in place need to have security in place. And it's a very good thing to integrate that for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping one day there is only premium, right? That's just like, that's what Azure Active Directory looks like. I hate the idea that small companies don't automatically get these great security features.
Yeah. And also from that perspective, so one of the best security features, and this is what I can't point it out because I do it all the time and mm-hmm. people are smiling at me, is just enable MFA on your account,
goodness,
on every
yes.
single account,
yeah.
on your Facebook account, on your Skype account, on every single account, because it's so important and it reduces your risk.
Well, and we're at a time where the bad actors are still bad acting, but we're far more vulnerable. So yeah, while we're making changes, pushing against MFA makes a lot of sense to me, that we just do more of it. How do you feel differently about sort of the text validator versus the authenticator versus the YubiKeys of the world? What is your preference?
So my Twitter, my Facebook, my LinkedIn, my Microsoft accounts, all of those accounts are going through the authenticator app. And this is a huge benefit. I do not like the SMS thing and the calling thing, because it takes longer. It brings no additional value. It kind of brings a lot of risk as well.
Right.
Because you can have a copied eSIM card or anything else. So I like the authenticator app.
Yeah.
For some organizations where people do not have mobile phones or do not have any access possibility, I like the idea to give them a third-party device like a FIDO key,
right,
or anything else for authentication, because this is extremely helpful for them. And also probably you have heard that Microsoft is now introducing an SMS login capability for frontline workers, which probably do not have a machine in place. They just have a mobile phone and they can sign in with their mobile phones directly.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah, very powerful. But and then you get that dual authentication thing. I have gone down the YubiKey path. To try and keep, you know, to add additional layers to my password security, all those sorts of things. And I still feel somewhat clumsy that I don't know how comfortable I am putting that in my regular employee hands. You know, you just have to, it's a physical thing that can be lost. But I do appreciate that if you can spend some time to educate people on how to use the authenticator. It is the lowest friction MFA tool out there right now. Although it's always a question of which authenticator. I got to think you go Microsoft Authenticator for Office 365 stuff just because the integration is flawless.
Yeah, exactly. So I just use the Microsoft Authenticator. And I kind of agree with the YubiKey that it's kind of, it's a, an additional device you have to carry with you. And it's probably not that easy as you would it expect out of a user perspective. But some use cases are really valid around that. And I see that a lot, so that people have cards or keys with them,
yeah,
which helps them authenticate because, for instance, they can't read, they can just fingerprint or anything else. So there are many variations on that.
Are you starting to feel, again, we're thinking about initiatives we want to do during a pandemic, but going passwordless, is that really an option?
I think passwordless is the direction we need to go. And passwordless, kind of what I have now with Windows Hello on my machine, it's extremely comfortable, it's helpful, it's secure. And I think it's kind of the future, because if you do not have a password to sign in, there's nothing a hacker can break into. So, and normally it's like in old movies, they can't cut off your head to authenticate somewhere.
Right.
So it's kind of a very secure solution if you go with systems like fingerprint, Windows Hello, and so on. So I think that's the future.
Yeah. And I just don't want it to be the future now. I want it to be now. I'm thinking so much about now. So it's really, and it's something I've been scrutinizing and asking the question regularly, is it time for passwordless? Is it time for passwordless? I just wonder if it bring, I know it will bring value in the future. Does it bring value now?
For me, it brings value now as well, because I use it every day.
Right. And
on my machine.
And for someone working from home, that we could reduce friction because you don't have passwords on sticky notes stuck to the machine like that.
Yeah.
That because you probably got your, you know, the company's asking for good password policy. So passwords are changing regularly. Or do you, is it better to push them into a password manager than to try and just get the password out of the loop entirely?
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion there? Do you use a password manager? I presume you do.
Yes, I do. And also, Richard, to be completely transparent, I do not care a lot about passwords anymore, because
right,
I, in situations where I need a password, I open up the password manager and take it from there.
Yeah.
So literally, you can tell me every single password you use. I will forget it immediately because I'm so relying on those password managers now, because I do not want to have one single password for all of my accounts. So I started using a password manager and then I forgot immediately that I need one.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It took several years to fully adopt LastPass and just to make sure that every password was different on all the old accounts, to add the YubiKey security on top of that. I not only don't know my passwords anymore. I mean, I couldn't even, and they're all different. Like, what do I know? But also now I find I'm much more comfortable just making a new account now because I know it's unique. I don't have to care about that given company's security at all. It's like, is it worth creating an account here? It's like, what do I care? It's just in the password manager.
Yeah, and also one practice I do very often is when I see there is a system which maybe stores your passwords unencrypted on their systems, I do not care at all. I take a random password. I do not even write it down because I go on password reset and that's it.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It's totally irrelevant. And I also like that I use LastPass, and I'm not emotional about what password manager people use, but that once a month or once a quarter, I fire up LastPass's security checker and it just runs through what are the oldest passwords. And I'm finding that there are accounts where I look at it and go, I don't even remember who that is. Delete. Like, what do I care? And you know, or I'll go there and you know, cancel accounts or get rid of them. And passwords that I do care about, and, oh, it's 6 months old, change it. You know, you know, then it can take your tinfoil hat off and feel better about it as well. Although it's interesting to see, like, the really important accounts, the Googles and the PayPals and the things like that, they've actually integrated with a lot of these password managers where you don't even need to log into the site and say, I want to change my password. That is built into the password manager. Just change the password, which means I literally never saw the password. I didn't even paste the password in. It just changed it for me.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think what every single identity system nowadays knows is that a digital identity is quite important.
Yes.
And needs to be protected. And this is also something I learned in the last couple of weeks. I discussed that over and over with customers when we speak about security. And those customers, or some of the customers, are still relying on endpoint protection and only on that.
Right.
And very often I talk to them, oh, have you ever thought about identity protection or information protection? This is relevant too, because if my machine is secure, I'm totally fine with that. What happens with my identity if it's not secure as well?
Yeah, maybe in the end, it's only identity that actually matters. The endpoint used to be the perimeter, and there is no perimeter anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting stuff. Well, I'm glad you and yours are well. These is great. Some great thoughts about, you know, managing work from home folks and trying to set all those things up. I got lots of links for folks to look through. Thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thanks. Anytime. It was a really pleasure to be back on the show, and thanks for the invitation, Richard.
You bet. Thanks for the great insight. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.